Welcome to NoSpinHomilies.com. I invite you to join me to reflect upon the homilies of Father Dan. Father Dan will challenge us to open our heart, mind, and soul to the Word of God. Father Dan will draw upon sacred scripture, along with art, literature, and the lives of the saints, to help us grow in our love and knowledge of the scripture. In doing so, we can become the living Word of God in this world. Now it is my pleasure to present to you No Spin Homilies.
In the sacred scriptures for this weekend, we have the beginning of the Gospel of Mark. Now notice how the Gospel begins. It writes, "The beginning of the Gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God." Now, it's interesting to note, when you compare the other Gospels, Matthew's Gospel begins by referring to it as a book, as if it's some sort of handbook or manual to the Christian life. Luke refers to his Gospel as a narrative, as a story. Yet Mark specifically refers to his Gospel simply as a Gospel. And the word Gospel is translated to mean good news. Mark begins telling us about the good news of Jesus Christ, yet by first introducing to us John the Baptist. Why? Because John the Baptist is the forerunner, the one who prepares the way for Jesus Christ. In the ancient world, it was a common custom for a king to send his messengers out into towns and villages to announce his coming, so that everyone would be prepared and would be able to properly receive and welcome their king. Remember, Jesus does the same thing himself. Jesus sends out the 72 disciples into neighboring towns and villages, places in which he intends to visit, so as to do what? Prepare the people, and in this case, prepare their hearts, their minds, and their souls to receive the teachings of Christ. See, this is what John the Baptist now does for us during this season of Advent. John is our King's messenger. We must carefully listen to him as well as to his message so that we can properly prepare our heart, mind, and soul to receive our King into our life. Now, this is important for us to listen to John. Now, many people would argue we cannot come to know Jesus unless we come to the grips of John's message. Therefore, the only way that we can begin to understand Jesus Christ, who he is, and what his message is all about, is by first understanding John the Baptist. Now, first and foremost, where is John right now in the gospel? He's in the desert. The desert can be a very powerful spiritual place. Let me give you some examples. Paul, after his conversion on the road to Damascus, flees into the Arabian desert and remains there for 3 years before he begins his ministry. Jesus, too, flees into the desert after his baptism to engage the devil in battle. Moses encounters God in the form of a burning bush while shepherding his flock in the desert. The desert is a place of brutal truth, a place where we have to come to grips with the truth of who we are. This Advent season is a time for us to enter into the spiritual desert place of our lives. This is a time in which we must be brutally honest, take a deep and long, honest look at who we are and how we can properly prepare ourselves to welcome Jesus Christ into our life. What's John's message? Repent. It's the same message that Jesus proclaims at the very beginning of his ministry. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, it's important for us to remember that the Gospels were originally written in Greek. Now, if you look at the Greek word that John uses, it is metanous, which when translated actually means change the mind. We must change our mind. We must see our life and the world not through our own perspective, not with the attitude of what's in it for me. See, that's the attitude of the ego and how the ego sees the world. It's all about me, my wants, my desires. No, instead, we should see the world through the eyes of God, through God's will and God's ways. When John preaches repent, he preaches repent, the kingdom of God is at hand. And yes, the repentant person can see it. The repentant person is one who has embraced the metanous. They have changed their mind as well as their heart. They have converted. And now they see that the kingdom of God truly is at hand because they see the world through the eyes of God. And now they act upon it. An unrepentant person is a person who hasn't changed. They don't see the world from their perspective of God. Instead, they continue to see the world from their own perspective, from their own ego. And that's why they will never be able to see the kingdom of God unfolding in this world. Worse yet, they won't be able to see the true presence of Christ in their life, nor will they be able to understand who Jesus really is, and therefore come to believe in him. Great example of this is the Pharisees, who refused to repent. Notice where the Pharisees are right now in the gospel. They're standing on the banks of the Jordan River. Do they enter the water? No. Do they confess their sins and accept a baptism of repentance? No, not at all. Yet they stand and they criticize John. They second-guess his actions and his motivations. Therefore, how do they react to Jesus? They don't recognize him. Worse, they don't accept him to be the Messiah. They are constantly criticizing and second-guessing Jesus throughout his entire ministry. The Pharisees offer no repentance, no metanous. They don't change their mind or their heart. And instead, they see their world and their life through the eyes of their own ego, rather than through the eyes of God. And therefore, they never recognize the true identity of Jesus Christ. See, that's why it's so important for us to listen to and act upon the words of our King's messenger, who was sent with the specific mission of preparing us to properly receive our King. And therefore, we must repent. We must have a metanous, a change of heart and mind. See the world through the eyes and the will of God. Notice also in the gospel, it says, the people of the whole Judean countryside and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem were going out to John, and they were being baptized by John in the Jordan River as they acknowledged their sins. Now, this is odd. The people are leaving the city of Jerusalem. Remember, Jerusalem was God's holy city. Jerusalem held the temple, and in the temple was the Holy of Holies, where God dwelled, where the presence of God was truly with the Israelites. Yet the people were leaving it. They were going out into the desert. Now, what's the spiritual significance here? The people are going out to worship now at a new temple. My friends, it's a basic biblical truth. Whenever you hear movement in the Bible, it has a rich symbolic significance attached to it. For example, the two men on the road to Emmaus walking from Jerusalem to the town of Emmaus. They're immersed in self-doubt about Jesus' resurrection. Yet Jesus appears to them on the road and begins to interpret all the scripture passages that related to Jesus' death and resurrection. Finally, at the very end of the story, they see Jesus Christ in the breaking of the bread. Notice the countless trips that Jesus takes back and forth across the Sea of Galilee. He's going from Jewish territories to Gentile territories. The symbolism here? Yes, Christ is the Savior, yet he's not just the Savior to the Jews, but to the entire world, both Jews as well as Gentiles. Now, people in this gospel passage for this weekend, they are leaving Jerusalem, the holy city, and they're going out into the desert because now they realize there is a new temple, a temple that's based upon now the new covenant with Jesus Christ. The old temple in Jerusalem was built by men. It was a physical structure where the Ark of the Covenant resided, where the Israelites believed the presence of God was. Yet, this new temple is Jesus Christ himself. See, that's to whom the people are going out into the desert to hear John preach about and now prepare themselves to receive Christ. Remember how Jesus confronts the Pharisees and tells them, "Destroy this temple and I will raise it in 3 days." He was referring to himself. Jesus is the new temple. And with that new temple comes a new covenant now with Jesus Christ to replace the old temple and the old covenants. See, that's the significance of the movement of the people. Friends, we must do the same thing during this season of Advent. We must move out of our sense of comfort. We must go out into the desert of our own spiritual life and then listen to and reflect upon the messenger of God, John the Baptist. Prepare ourselves to be properly disposed to receive and welcome our King, Jesus Christ. Notice what the people were doing when John baptized them. It says in the Gospel, the people were being baptized by John in the Jordan River as they acknowledged their sins. Well, we too must do the same thing. In our own spiritual desert during the season of Advent, we must get to the very truth of who we are. Don't be afraid. Then go and confess your sins, just like those people when they heard John and were being baptized by him. Like those people that stood in the muddy waters of the Jordan River and were baptized, we too must repent. We must have a metanoos ourselves. We must have a change in our heart and our mind. And then we will be opened up to truly see the kingdom of heaven in this world, to truly see the presence of Christ in our life, and then act upon it. I'll leave you with one last detail to think about. Notice where John is baptizing the people. In the Jordan River. He's not baptizing them in the Sea of Galilee, nor any other river, but specifically in the Jordan. Now, what's the symbol here? The Jordan River was a river of liberation. Remember in the Exodus story, the Israelites wander for 40 years in the desert. They finally see the promised land, yet in order to get to it, they must cross the Jordan River. Once they cross the Jordan River, now they experience liberation. Now the promises of God come true, the promises that came from the covenant that Moses made with God. The people that were going out to be baptized by John received a baptism of repentance, and therefore now were liberated from their sins. Friends, we too have experienced the waters of liberation at the time of our baptism. When we were baptized, the waters of God flowed over us, and therefore liberated us of our original sin, so that what? Now we enter into a new life with God. Now we participate in the divine life of God, in the life of Jesus Christ. We too, like the Israelites, and now the people that go out and are baptized by John, have experienced a liberation. We too, through our own baptism and subsequent sacraments, have been liberated from the slavery of sin and death. And my friends, that truly is the gospel, the good news for us this weekend. And may the peace and the grace of Jesus Christ rest upon you always.